97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go right to another goaltender. And as good as Price is and as hard as Hart is going to be and is already, they're never going to break this man's record of shutout streak in the NHL. The one and only Brian Boucher has been removed from the glass, and he joins us right now. Boucher, what's going on?
Not much, Jason. Let's get to pressing matters before we start. Was there something wrong with my wardrobe today? Or, I mean, I'm missing that joke on Twitter. What was that all about?
I don't know. Somebody asked me if I was giving you fashion advice, and I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I probably should, but nobody wants to take my fashion advice. You know what my fashion is, Boosh? It's homeless chic.
Well, I'll tell you what. I packed for 2 months, and I only brought 4 suits, so get used to whatever the hell I'm wearing, because that's all I got.
Let's start here. Is the circulation good in that Pope case that you're in?
Yeah, it's fine. The back, behind me is open. So, the ventilation's fine. I'm not gonna die of oxygen deprivation. I'll be quite okay.
Okay. Well, at least you can eat Mexican at the back open, too.
I can't tell you how many jokes I've gotten from friends and sending me texts and, you know, pictures of the Pope and the Pope mobile and all that. And, pretty good stuff. You know?
Absolutely. What have you seen? Let's start with the Flyers game, and because you were in between the last with John Forslund and Mike Milbury, you had to balance out Milbury, of course, because he's such a honk for the Bruins. But anyway, what did you see in the game tonight? That the intensity level, because you've done some of the best of five playing games, and now you're doing a round robin game for the first time.
Yeah, the intensity wasn't the same as yesterday. I'd be lying if it was, and I think I said it early on in the hockey game, and I mean, you don't want to keep beating it down, but the level of urgency in these games just isn't there. I mean, and it's understandable why, because it's not lose 3 games and you're out. So, you know, teams are going to approach it differently. I think the Flyers have the most to gain in this situation because, you know, you think about it, guys like Carter Hart and some of their other guys who are playing their first games, you know, I think Obey Cubell is playing his first playoff game, Myers, I mean, you know, and whoever else. I mean, think about it. These guys are getting to get it's actually a playoff game that they're playing in. It's considered to be a playoff game without the ramifications of losing a game that puts you down in a series with all that pressure. You know what I mean? So it's a nice way to kind of break in, and the Flyers can go from 4 to anywhere as high as 1. So they've got everything to gain and all this experience that's going to help out. But, you know, but on the other flip side of it, you've got a veteran team like the Boston Bruins who have been there, done that before. And I don't think that they're necessarily interested in, you know, going through the Zamboni door to get a victory right now. But I'm going to tell you what, if they don't get it straightened out, they may find themselves in a little bit of trouble. It's going to be tough to catch a moving train when you get to round one if you don't have your game in order, and you might think you have a lot of time to figure it out, and you just might not. So I suspect that as we get into the round robin, the level of urgency will go up, I would hope.
Yeah, Boosh, if I'm Bruce Cassidy, I show them the tape of that best of 4 or best of 7 last year when Columbus zipped the Tampa Bay right out of the playoffs, not matching that intensity. It can be over. You can be out of bubble life really quick.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and you're right about the moving train. Let me ask you, would this game have been the same had Tuukka Rask been in net today? Maybe not the same, because I thought, and you mentioned on the broadcast too, and I tweeted the same thing out, that it looked like Halak on 2 of those goals really lost his angle to me and lost his net a little bit.
Yeah.
Way too much on the glove side on the one, and even on the Myers one over the blocker side. I thought he shaded short side a little bit there as well. Tuukka Rask is their bell cow, but these two guys aren't that far off from each other. Would that have been a huge difference today? Flyer fans want to know that.
Maybe, but I didn't think Boston played very good at all. I mean, leading up to that Myers goal, it was a turnover by Chara that led to that fast break. I thought it was a pretty good shot by Myers on that one. I'll give Halak a pass on that one. He was way off his angle on the Lawton goal. Maybe it would have made a little bit of a difference, but the Bruins didn't play good enough to win that hockey game today. Their top line finally got a sense of urgency with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left when they pulled the goaltender. Their power play was no good, and that's a power play that is lethal. Number 2 in the NHL, and and they seemed disjointed and uninterested in really trying to find some urgency. You know what I mean? Even, you know, on the goal that Raffel scored, think about it, the turnover that took place for the Bruins all over the ice. I mean, that was a turnover by Bergeron that led to the Raffel goal. So I don't know if the goalie would have made all the difference in the world. It may have. We like to think that goalies can cancel things out, but the Bruins didn't deserve to win this hockey game today.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Bush, even that depth scoring, you just mentioned Raffel, Myers, Thompson, and Lawton get all the Flyer goals. The Stars don't end up on the score sheet, and that's fine because you had a 4-1 win. But my biggest takeaway from this game was not only that Carter Hart made 34 saves on 34 shots, but it was the demeanor in which he did it. And I just talked to him about it right before you came on. And to me, okay, the 34 saves and 34 shots is great against a very lethal opponent in that power play and everything you just mentioned. But it's the way he looked in making the saves. I tweeted out that I didn't think that his heart rate went over 71 today. His BPM was just very low and chill, under control. How impressed with what you saw out of the Flyers goaltender?
Yeah, he looks comfortable. He looks, you know, and that's hard to do when, you know, this is your second game after 4.5 months to look that comfortable. And that's a trademark of his play, similar to what I said on the broadcast, like Carey Price. I mean, these guys, they're able to keep their emotions in check, yet when they play and have to be explosive, they can be explosive, but they don't look jittery. They don't look nervous, you know? And that's a real strength, and that's a great quality to have. And to have it at 21 years old, that's where I'm so impressed with where he's at in his career. Because, I mean, I think back to when I was 21, and I was a nervous wreck. And it probably showed in the way I played and the level of inconsistency that I probably had in my game. Yet I don't see it in his game, which tells me that he's wise beyond his years. And it's why I said that I think he's going to be a top three goaltender in National Hockey League in short order. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, you look at the top goalies in the NHL, and, you know, being at the top of your game sometimes is short-lived because it is a hard league nowadays. But I think he's got at least, you know, 8 to 10 years of, you know, just prime years. I mean, where, you know, this guy should be one of the best in the NHL.
And it's that mental game that he's so far ahead of the curve as a 21-year-old sends you right in that direction. Hey, Bush, let me ask you about this, because you just talked about, you used the word pressure. And I see 2-12 seeds beat 2-5 seeds yesterday. I see Edmonton go down against Chicago. We know the horses and the pride that Chicago team has with Taves and Kane, Duncan Keith, Corey Crawford. So I can almost buy that a little bit in a team that hasn't had playoff success in the Oilers yet. But then the Pittsburgh Penguins go down in overtime against Montreal. 2-5 seeds go down. Now they got to win 3 out of 4. We know the math. Doc Emmerich talked about it, saying, you know, when a team loses game one of a best of five, 82% of the time, they lose this series. Are both of those teams in legit trouble already?
I don't know.
You're not ready to go there.
Numbers, I'm not ready to go there. I mean, and I'll tell you why. I mean, a couple things. You know, those statistics, you know, and it's great to reference them, but the last time we had best of five was in 1986. So it's a totally different game, a totally different era. So it's hard to you know, correlate the two, right? Then now let's go to the Edmonton-Chicago series. The thing that I'm a little concerned about in Chicago is Corey Crawford had no training camp, like none. He was COVID positive and did not skate at all during their phase three training camp, and then stepped into Edmonton when he was finally cleared. I think he had one or two practices, played a game, the half a game, and got a shutout, and then played that game. I mean, that just defies logic after 4.5 months off. Like, you should not be able to just step in and play an NHL game and win. You know what I mean? So yeah. Is there like a come back to earth moment there where maybe, you know, the rust that should be in his game, we start to see? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of offensive firepower on that Edmonton Oilers team. A lethal power play in Edmonton. The best power play we've seen in a long time in the NHL. So I'm not ready to write off the Edmonton Oilers just yet. But I'm going to tell you right now, if Mike Smith plays again and he plays the way he did, they will be out. Koskinen needs to get the net. He was way, way better than Mike Smith. I think you got to make that change. I'm not ready to write off Edmonton. The Pittsburgh series look, Carey Price did the job in the first period last night. That's exactly what you do on the road in the playoffs. You hold the fort, you allow your team to kind of catch their breath, get up to speed, and then you see it a lot. You know, the old rope-a-dope. They're throwing everything on net, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a greasy goal, and now you're in it. And that's exactly what the Canadiens did. You know, I'm not ready to write off the Pittsburgh Penguins. Last year, they got swept by the New York Islanders, right? And they got frustrated. But they got frustrated against a team in the New York Islanders that are very structured, very defensive, very detailed. And they suck the life out of you, you know? And they don't make it easy to get in the middle of the ice. I don't know that the Montreal Canadiens can do that. What they can do is hope that Carey Price gives them enough time till they get, you know, some other guys to come help in the fight, and then they can get going. But that's a tall order against a high-powered offense like the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think that series is over yet, and I can't wait to see how Pittsburgh responds to what happened last night. You know, I suspect they'll be great, but who knows? You know, either way, it's gonna make for great drama.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And now you're in a position too as a huge favorite in Pittsburgh and Edmonton. Now you got to win 3 out of 4. That's never easy to do with all the pressure in their lap. While the Chicago Blackhawks, who have 3 cups with that core, and the Penguins have 3 cups with that core, get all the pressure in the world. Now, and imagine what would happen if they both got knocked out and then a combined 25% chance at the number one overall pick. People would be freaking out.
Oh, my God. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, you can tell I spent too much time on social media because all the conspiracies are out there. Boosh, I appreciate you doing this, man. We'll be watching the NHL on NBC. You guys are doing a great job bringing us the games, man. It looks awesome. It looks like a TV set a little bit, but it looks awesome. And given the circumstance, that's all we can ask for. The games, they'll get better and better as we go along. Thanks for doing this, and stay healthy up there in Toronto.
All right, Jason. Great to be with you. Thanks, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.